This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today is
Jeff Sandu
and Christine Wong.
All right, and we are talking about the Malaysian National Digital ID. Tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 01878988899, or you can catch us on Twitter and on Insta Story at BFM Radio. We've got a whole lot of feedback.
So we've got polls. We are running a poll on Instagram. If you go onto Instagram, you hit on the Insta Story. There is a poll: National Digital ID for all Malaysians, yes or no? Most of y'all are now actually voting for yes, and I would say it's about 70% say yes, 30% say no.
Okay.
We will see how that changes later in the day, because privacy and security is a concern.
Yeah, and also we've got some feedback on Twitter. Christine.
Hi, yes. So we've got a tweet here from someone who identifies themselves as a Cabernet Sauvignon, which great. Sweet. I already like you. But they say, by the way, Sarawak has imposed a state digital ID since last year. I have mine too.
Ah, free to
do. What I'd want to basically ask is, you know, what does that state digital ID consist of and what do you do with it? So please do let us know about that one. We've also got here, we've got a Gaddy Lim who says, as much as it may be a good idea to have IC holders on a singular platform, it will open a huge risk for data breaches. All of our current government websites are not that secure. What makes them think they can protect us? So that is a genuine concern as well.
It is very true, because remember the phone leak hack, the mobile numbers that was leaked, the largest ever data breach that happened in Malaysia. It's a concern. If we do store our behaviors online in an e-commerce space, what we buy and what we sell online, and it's all tracked on a digital ID, the number one thing I need is the insurance that it is going to be protected no matter what.
So here's the thing. I think it's great that something like this could help us pre-fill forms if we do something online, and maybe it could also act as our digital signature. But could this lead to increased government surveillance on what we do online, the things we post, the things we buy? Where is that data going and how will it be used?
Yes.
That is my concern.
Do you become a surveillance state, like, for example, in China as well, right, with their social credit score rating? And it's quite impressive in the sense that China's economy and also their mindset of their citizens have actually, you know, they're quite used to that. Similarly, I think if you go down to Singapore, you would notice that there are cameras everywhere in Singapore.
Yeah.
And Singaporeans are very used to the norm of being monitored already. And there is a certain type of trust, at least a certain level of trust with the government in terms of they're doing this for security reasons. But when you push the boundary into coming into your behaviors, into what you're doing in your online world, that's where I think then you will have a little bit more of a pushback. And then you would see, you know, people, whether it's in Singapore, whether it's in Malaysia, I think we all are savvy enough to understand that, like, it's not maybe what we really want. We understand there are cyber crimes, there are theft that's happening, but is this the right way moving forward? Should we actually look at protecting some of our, just our normal digital assets first? Because there are data breaches that happens every day. You can never say you are 100% fully protected against all kinds of attacks. You can never say that. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, tell us what you think. Keep the feedback coming in on WhatsApp 01878988899 and on Twitter and Insta Story at BFM Radio. We're going to move on to our second story now. No smoking at open air eateries. We've heard about this for some time now, but the Health Ministry came out just yesterday and to say that the ministry is pushing to gazette all open air restaurants as no smoking areas, and this could happen as early as December. Now, the gazettement is not only to encourage smokers to kick the habit, but also to protect non-smokers from secondhand smoke due to tobacco products. Now, our Deputy Health Minister, Dr. Lee Boon Chye, said, and this is a quote from him, No doubt smokers will say they have the right to smoke, but non-smokers also have the right to have smoke-free areas. Those caught smoking at prohibited areas can be fined 10,000 ringgit or jailed for not more than 2 years. And I think I checked up on this. If business premises don't implement this as well, they could be fined about 2,500 ringgit.
Wow.
So this is news. And I also like to add on, this article had another comment from the Gopeng MP. He said he's also seeking his fellow MP's support to shut down the smoking room in Parliament by this month. And he hopes that the smoker MPs, and he called them that, smoker MPs, will take the opportunity to stop smoking.
Now, also, enforcement of the law is also the next issue here.
That's
right?
That's the question, right?
You know, we see all these fines, these boards, and that, you know, if you do this, you'll be fined X amount. And then now they're saying that, you know, those who caught smoking at these prohibited areas can be fined up to 10,000 ringgit or jail for not more than 2 years. Enforcement, guys. You know, I'm all for having eateries that are probably smoke-free, and then you have a certain zone that is meant for smokers. I'm fine with all that, but it comes down to enforcement for me.
Yeah, for me, my kind of main question is that a lot of these eateries are open air. So where does the boundary lie in terms of kind of physical boundary? What constitutes where the kind of mamak stops and the road starts, for example, right? So if someone is standing right outside and they're smoking, it will still kind of affect people's secondhand smoke kind of inhalation. True. It will still affect people's, you know, they're still smoking, but they're outside, so it doesn't count. So, so I don't really know, as you've mentioned, Jeff, how they're going to actually enforce this in a way that would make sense.
Yeah, because will you just have to move down the road then smoke in front of another business premise, possibly, or in front of another public space? Because let's just look at some of the places that already have smoking bans in place. Entertainment centres, theatres, elevators, public toilets, air-conditioned eateries.
Yes,
Do we still see people smoking at these places?
Well, I think most of these places are indoors. And indoors, generally, I think ever since I was growing up, there were only very few places that was actually you could smoke indoors. Now they've kind of abolished that. And that's great, because for whether you're a smoker or a non-smoker, you would appreciate an air conditioning place that is not, you know, with, you know, just toxic with cigarette smoke, right? But also, looking at Singapore, what Singapore has done is, for the outside, you know, fresco dining area, they have this yellow tape on the floor itself. So, and this yellow tape is like a small little box. Maybe outside in their eatery, they may have 10 tables. Two out of that 10 tables are in this yellow box. That means that's where you can sit down and have your cigarette as well. But these two tables are located just next to this other 8 tables that are basically meant where you can't have a cigarette in that area.
So their designated smoking area is close to the non-smoking area.
It's very close. It's literally just next to the other individual. So it kind of defeats the purpose here, because now it feels like it's just an ad hoc thing that you're doing this out of, you know, you're forcing to do this instead of actually taking health into a consideration.
This is the problem. You can't really control where secondhand smoke goes in an open air eatery. It doesn't work like that. It's air, guys. That's how physics works.
But I think with those yellow box situation in Singapore, at least it helps maintain expectations. If you are seated next to the designated smoking area, you know that you're going to be exposed to secondhand smoke. But if you go to a restaurant and if there wasn't a designated smoking area, where would the smokers then go?
Right. How about this? I know people may find this suggestion from mine a bit like, wow, this is a bit like silly, but a lot of these eatery places, they already have indoor air conditioning, like, you know, certain segment of that mama shop, they would have, like, you know, they've closed it down. It's not, you know, air conditioning. Really
some
nice,
of the
right?
bigger mama shops.
Yeah, and that is like, really, you can't smoke any cigarette, vaping and all that, right? What if you flip it around? What if you make that is the only area where you can have a cigarette or your vape, and the rest of the area where it's open is places where you can't? And you charge maybe a slightly a fee, like maybe a 50 cent or 20 cent per table, because of the air conditioning service that you run full time. And, you know, you probably, it's more expensive to clean the air as well. So you charge a slight premium in using that room itself. So it becomes like in airports, you have the smoking areas and it's like, you know, cordon off in one area. So flip it around and put it into eateries, into mama places as well.
But then I worry about ventilation, for example, if you have the smokers indoors and how that would maybe cling to like the walls or something.
But they're already smoking a cigarette, so...
I don't know.
Are they really thinking about their lives?
Not from them, but from the restaurant owner's perspective of having to maintain a smoking room and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, there are challenges everywhere.
All right. Yeah. It will be interesting to see how business premises work around this, you know, to enable some of their patrons to continue smoking. But, you know, we're talking about national digital IDs for all Malaysians today. Give us your feedback, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Jeff, do we have...
So going back to the no smoking at open air eateries, we've got a couple of WhatsApp messages. Nur Aliana, she said that went to Berjaya Times Square Mall recently and there are rows of vaping and e-cigarette stores in front of a no smoking sign. And then she gives a laughing emoji. And then from a number 5380, crazy fines, are we becoming like Singapore? I am all for non-smoking but disagree with the crazy fines.
10,000 ringgit. All right. And do we have any feedback on Twitter?
We've got feedback, but not about the smoking thing. We've got feedback about our main story today, the national digital ID idea. And this is from S. Shweeb OO, who says, the last thing I want is to consent to the government keeping tabs on my online activities, which they are probably already doing behind our backs. No, thank you.
All right.
We've got one on WhatsApp on that same story, 1777. Tommy, I think is his name. Actually, there's no need to look for to look at Estonia or Singapore. Pera had such digital identification plan more than a decade ago in its state IT plan, but it was not well executed. Perhaps it was a federal initiative that may have worked instead. So yeah, Tommy, he's the member of the then Pera IT strategic plan ESCO.
Thank you. All right, we're asking you, what do you think about this Malaysian digital ID? What would you like for it to do for you? Are you game? Send us your feedback, 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to listen to a little bit of Aerosmith right now, but when we come back, a story about a disgusting food museum that's up next on Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.